Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus. He said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, but when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the first reading, we get the beginning of the famous story of Jonah. Great story of conversion that the Lord uses to bring the Ninevites to conversion. But the conversion began because Jonah was running away from God. He was running away from his vocation. He was running away from what the Lord wanted. And the Lord allowed the whole storm to happen in order to be able to teach him some very important lessons about the Lord's undying love. That some of the times the Lord allows those storms to come upon us so that we might not continue to go in the same direction to which we have been going, but in fact use it in order to, the Lord may use it in order to show us ever more who we are in his plans and to set us back on the trajectory for the completion of those plans. Are we running away? Or are we running toward what the Lord wants of us? That's a proper setting to understand one of the many key angles in the parable of the Good Samaritan that we have in today's gospel. It's really such a shocking story. We've heard it so many times that its details can kind of wash on over us, especially the introduction where Jesus is serious when he says, "Do this and you will live," that we are to love the Lord with all we've got and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. The Lord wants us to love ourselves so that we can, in fact, love our neighbor by that same standard. But this lawyer was trying to show off. he had gotten the exact right answer that Jesus himself had answered before, when another scribe had come up to him and asked him, of all the 613 commandments in the Old Covenant, what was the most important? And Jesus gave us the Shema, and then he gave us Leviticus, which is that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. To the dazzling of the crowd, this particular person, with great synthetic insight, had gotten to that answer, but it was a thing of pride for him. Who is my neighbor, he asks. And Jesus answers in such a way that the whole world is our neighborhood. But the one whom the Lord wants us to ponder as our neighbor the most is the one who needs the Lord and his care most. A little bit of geography. Going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, from the place of the Lord's presence to literally the lowest place on planet Earth, the place most below sea level anywhere. It's got great symbolic significance as a place of sin, which is why Jesus would meet Zacchaeus there and the blind man Bartimaeus there, because there's so much symbolic reference. That's as low as you could possibly go. So as this man was leaving Jerusalem, leaving in a sense God, leaving God's holiness, that's where he's ambushed, just like in a sense Jonah was ambushed by the storm. But God didn't leave him there in a ditch. He's going to send help. First help that he sends is a priest. The priest is supposed to stand there in the place of the Lord. The priest is supposed to be God-like. Even in the Old Testament, the Kohani were supposed to be like this too. But pass by on the other side. Supposedly going up to Jerusalem was this priest in order to fulfill his service, and he didn't want to become ritually impure. He was impatient about doing what he thought was his job, whereas his real job was to love. And he didn't want to be inconvenienced. He didn't want to be stopped. He didn't want to be late. He didn't want to get his hands dirty. He knew it would require an awful lot of time, and he just was going to be stingy there because he thought he was going about the Lord's business. And he was totally missing the point. All those sacrifices that he would be doing at the temple were nothing compared to the show of mercy that the prophet Hosea had long proclaimed God wanted more than a Levite from this great priestly class. Lots of formation was passed to the Levites all the way down. Heck, the book of Leviticus is there as a whole formation book that they would receive more than anybody else. And as the Levite was going up again toward the place of God, he thought, he saw this man half dead. Let's picture that. Dying on the side of the road. Dying on the side of the road. And something else was more important than caring for that dying man. And he went by on the other side, didn't even draw close, as he would have heard the groans and have seen the squirming. I remember a story, true story, that happened around the year 2000 in Montreal. That there was a woman who had been abducted. She had been abused all night by a gang. And early in the morning, they had just dropped her off on a sidewalk in cold Montreal, just with a shirt on. If she had been helped right then, she would have made it. But instead, my fellow French Canadians, when they saw her there, just thought it was a drug addicted prostitute who had had a bad night. And they just stepped over her. It was a big office area, downtown Montreal. And so across the street, in the glass windows, some of the secretaries there had seen this woman was there, and they wanted to call for help, at least somebody else, to come to help this woman. But the men in the office said, no, we've got a big presentation today, too much work to do. The woman lay there for 90 minutes until finally one of these women, at the risk of her job, called. So they came and they got her into the ambulance and brought her to the hospital. But at that point, it was too late. She died of the injuries she had suffered over the course of the night, aggravated by the frostbite. Nobody did anything. They saw somebody wounded, and everybody else said, somebody else's job. I don't have the time for this today. There are too many other more important things to do, and the woman died. But then Jesus says, a Samaritan came upon him. For him to say the word Samaritan would have shocked his listeners. We've heard the parable of the Good Samaritan long enough. We now have the term of Samaritan who works suicide hotlines. It's now a great compliment. If I were to call you a Samaritan, you would take it well. When Jesus was using the word Samaritan, the best translation would have been scumbag, excuse me. Would have been a member of Al-Qaeda. It would have been a pimp or a pedophile. Somebody whom the Jews detested. And this was the man who came close. It would be like if Jesus were using modern terms of this parable. And there was a man who had been mugged down some alley. And Pope Francis, as he was driving in his little Fiat, looked down the side of the road, said, that man's not on my periphery. And onward he went. And then a missionary charity walked along. Then the missionary charity said, oh, I gotta go pick up some food at this restaurant for the poor. Passed by. And then the lowest of the low saw that alleyway. A pimp. And he went and he used some of his money that he had ill-earned in order to take him to a hotel around the corner, cared for him himself with all the wine that he could get out of the refrigerator in the hotel room, and then gave $1,000 in $100 bills to the innkeeper and said, keep at it, I'll be coming back. Warning him that he would return to make sure that the victim would not be taken advantage of. That's what Jesus was saying with the Samaritan. That this person whom nobody would have thought would have ever drawn close to a Jew, this person whom nobody thought that any good lived in, was the one who drew near and cared. And then Jesus punctuates the whole thing by saying, go and do the same. Prove yourself neighbor to the people in the world. It's framed by the whole story of Jonah for us today, because often we run away from what Jesus is asking us to do. What is our vocation as a priest, as a woman religious, as a sister of life? As a Christian, our vocation is to draw near to those who need the Lord. It's very simple. It is really simple. But we've got to change some of our categories in order to live out the simple and powerful message. First category we have to overturn is the category of convenience / inconvenience. When we're so busy about so many things for the Lord that we can't stop and care for somebody in need. Oh, I got to get back because prayer starts at this time and this homeless person wants to speak to me and I don't have time for him. So much more valuable as a hymn of praise to the Lord when we care for somebody like that. A sister in need who's obviously having a bad day. But we've got our whole laundry list of things to do. So we don't open our hearts up and cross even the hallway. because we become maniacal about, like a Martha, about doing the types of things that we think is most pleasing to the Lord, when the Lord's constantly saying to us, I desire mercy above all. When we do our morning offering, how important it is for us to say, and Lord, please help me to respond to the holy inconveniences you throw in my way. Help me not to miss my vocation today as you're calling to me from the people who are wounded to cross the road and care for you right then. Jesus, when he sends us out, both the 12 and the 72, Jesus does tell us, as we heard last week, greet no one along the way, which is not imperative, telling us to be rude to people. He does say, keep your focus. Don't be distracted. And the way the devil normally distracts us is not by throwing sins in our way. He throws other good things in our path so that we get distracted by doing all these good things and forget what's most important. He's not contradicting what he's saying here. But what he wants us to grasp is, it's exactly the opposite. Where we think that what we've got on our agenda is so important that we can't get distracted even when somebody's crying out for help. It's exactly the opposite. Our whole vocation is to be the continuation of his merciful love. And it's so many of these other things that are the distractions that we're not supposed to greet. We're not supposed to get brought off the side of the road so that we can actually love people with the love with which we've been loved. The great fathers of the church, when they talked about this parable of the Good Samaritan, they made quite clear who the identity of the characters were. The one left in the side of the ditch was you and me. The priest and the Levite were the leaders of the Jews. The priests and the Pharisees and the scribes. The law and the prophets, in a sense. That it was missing this essential point. That it was all leading to the love of God and the love of neighbor. But they didn't grasp that everything God was asking hang on these two commandments, as Jesus would say in St. Matthew's Gospel. The Good Samaritan was Jesus himself, who crossed the road all the way from heaven to care for us when we were dying. Dying as we were wandering away from Jerusalem and all the holiness, the place of God that it symbolized. He bathed us with his own blood in order to heal our wounds. He picked us up. He took us to the inn. What's the inn? The inn is the church. And he entrusted people to our care. And he said, if you expend more than I've given you, if you think you're being pushed beyond your reserves, that you just don't have the strength for it, I'll pay you back on my return. I'm coming back. And I'll give you everything. If you sacrifice, if you even die for this person, I will pay you back. You won't lose anything, in other words. You'll only gain if you make the whole world your neighborhood. This is the real message of the gospel. Pope Francis has been trying to get the whole church to recognize these truths. When he talks about the peripheries, it's meant precisely to help us to cross the road, to hear the cries of those who so much need the compassion of the Lord, but aren't getting it from so many. I mean, I know, sisters, you experience and know far better than I, how many Catholics have abortions. And when they're expected to find God's love in their families after a mistake perhaps they've made, instead, they get hardened hearts so often that so many can't even be neighbors to their own family members. They're not met with compassion. And therefore, how many graces there will be in your vocation so that you can give them a little bit of a glimpse of Christ and the way Christ will never abandon them and care for them and patiently walk with them, even though sometimes it'll cause you to pull your veil off. But the Lord will strengthen you through that, and how much the church needs it, because you are meant to be the bride of the Good Samaritan, who constantly is crossing the road out of love for all of those in need. And that we prioritize those in need in this way. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Faustina Kowalska, and it was in her that the Lord reiterated his whole priority of mercy and manifested it in her life. Many of you probably know her life. She didn't receive much of an education. Her parents were opposed to her vocation. So she began to just sort of insert herself a little bit in the world. And one night she went to a dance because others were going to the dance. And it was then that the Lord appeared to her, wounded, suffering, and said that she needed to enter the convent right away. And so she didn't run away from that vocation. She ran toward it. She didn't quite know what it meant, but she just took off to Warsaw. She didn't know anybody in Warsaw, but she trusted that the Lord would show her what she needed to do. So she turned to the innkeeper. She turned to the church. She went to the pastor of the first priest of the first parish she found. She just described what the Lord had said and didn't know quite where to turn, and was asking for recommendations for convents in Warsaw. Pastor, with a little bit of wisdom, said, "It's probably going to take a little time. Got this widow in the parish. Let's see if you can stay with her as you visit the various convents and see who will take you." One after another, they didn't want to have anything to do with her. Finally, she met the community that would receive her, but they would only receive her on a condition that she had the money to pay for her own habit. Excuse me, sisters, how stupid is this? So she had to work for several months in order to make the money to pay for her own habit. Then when she went in, because of her education and because of her tuberculosis and her illness, she was constantly on the outskirts of her community. But she wasn't on the outskirts of the Lord's calling and love. And out of all the gifted sisters in that community, out of all the gifted sisters in the whole world, she was the one who was chosen to become the secretary of Mercy Incarnate, even though she had only had such a poor education. She became the secretary to pass on to us one of the most important messages ever. And it's through what the Lord revealed to her that we see new angles on today's parable and today's first reading. A lot of us want to run away from the Lord's mercy because that's what the devil tempts us to do, in the same way that he tempts us to cross by on the opposite side of the road, reminding us of how many more important things we think we have on our agenda. The Lord wants us to run away, first from receiving it and then from sharing it. But the Lord reminded us through Saint Faustina that the three most important things we need to do is to recognize our need for the Lord's mercy, come and get it, and then third, lavishly pass it on. Having been made rich in the Lord's mercy, we then enrich others with the same gift. And all the practices, the five practices that the Lord Jesus revealed to us through her, they're all means by which we draw close to all those who are wounded. The novena of divine mercy. So we call to mind all these categories of people who need the Lord's mercy. Divine Mercy Sunday is a day in which we draw close to the heart of mercy. And then with that same merciful heart, misericordia, a heart for the poor, a heart that is compassionate, we draw close to others. The hour of mercy, when at 3 we stop and we think about all those who need the Lord's mercy most, and we pray for them, beginning with the one we see reflected in a mirror. The chaplet of divine mercy. in which we're constantly turning to God the Father, offering his Eucharistic Son, his body, blood, soul, and divinity, and asking him to have mercy on us and the whole world, that we unite ourselves as one, and the peripheries are brought right into the center of our heart, in the center of the heart of the mystical body. And then the image of divine mercy, which we see Jesus constantly blessing us, as out from his heart flow the blood and the water, the font of the sacramental life in the church, which is meant precisely to nurse us in that inn to full health. Big choice today is whether we, like Jonah, are going to run away from the simplicity of our vocation, or like the converted Jonah we're going to see later this week, run toward it, and to use the fact that we have received the Lord's mercy as a means to have so changed us that we will become more like God and care for others with the same love with which the Lord has cared for us. So Lord found us in the ditch of our bed today. He got us up, and he's brought us here, where he is really going to bathe and nourish us to health. But once we're strong, he wants us to go and pay it forward. The Lord's mercy does indeed endure forever. Through St. Faustina's intercession, let us beg for the grace that we might become more than his secretaries, but that we might become his emissaries, bringing this most important gift to all those we will find today, seated next to us, hiding in corners, or squirming and dying, leading away from Jerusalem, where the Lord sends us on those paths in order to search, to find, and to bring back to his love. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.